Would you all please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, an anthropologist who was studying the habits and customs of an African tribe over in Africa one day found himself surrounded by children. And actually, it happened to be most days. He was surrounded by all these kids. And he decided to play a little game with them. He managed to get some sweets from a neighboring town, and he put them all in this beautifully decorated basket. And then he went over and put them in front of a tree. Then he called all the children up to come around him, and he suggested that they play a game. When the anthropologist said, "Now," the children were supposed to run from where they were all the way to the tree, to the baskets with the sweets, grab as many as they could, and come back. So the children all lined up. They were waiting for the signal. And the anthropologist said, "Now!" And they ran together, holding hands to the basket, so that they all would get there at one time. And when they arrived, they divided all the sweets up between themselves. And they sat down and were happily just munching away. Now the anthropologist went over to them and asked, why had they run all together? You know, if one of them had gotten there first, they could have had all the sweets for themselves. And the children replied, "Umbutu. How could any one of us be happy if all the others were sad?" Umbutu. The philosophy of some African tribes can be summed up as, "I am because we are." This same philosophy is actually what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our scripture today, in his letter to the people of Corinth. Now you see, they were this faith community, which Paul knew very well. Corinth was this ancient city that was actually a port city that had a lot of wealth. And at the time, they had built tons of temples to Greek gods and Roman gods. So Paul intentionally went there as a missionary to bring the word of Christ. He stayed there. This was his second missionary journey for 18 months. And after the community was established, Paul moves on to continue his missionary field. But he then, once he's moved away, he gets some troubling reports that the community in Corinth is having problems, that there are divisions within the community. Crazy, I know, right? That a group of faithful people might disagree on something. Crazy. So these disagreements are why Paul is actually writing the letter to the people of Corinth, which is our scripture today. And this letter is actually broken up into five main parts. And the one that we heard from this morning that Nancy read for us is about gathering as a community. You see, in Corinth, when a community gathered, some people would have really moving spiritual experiences. They would get up and just start sharing out of the blue. It might have looked like talking in tongues, or someone who went on and on during the prayer time. Also, others who felt called were sharing the good news about God, but they were just interrupting one another, and they just keep going, so there was multiple people talking at once. It was all very chaotic. It was distracting for others in the community. They weren't able to hear the gospel. So the Christians in Corinth had become prideful concerning their particular gifts and dismissed the gifts of others. They were not even recognizing the gifts of others or valuing the rest of the community. Have we ever had distractions or disagreements in our country? No, not our country. Our town? Our faith community? Our home? Paul reminds us reminds the people the reason that they are gathered together is to build up the church, which all points to God's love. And God's Spirit should be working through everyone and should happen in a unified way. Paul describes this unified way with a metaphor of the church as the human body. Hear these words again from his letter. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, does it mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does it mean that it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like God wanted to. If all were one in the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The church community is a connected body. This is not always easy. Barbara Brown Taylor once observed that as metaphors go, this doesn't always work. That is Paul's sense of the body. Not only do people sometimes bug us or get on our nerves, or at times we have less patience or forget to have empathy, we forget what it's like to be a new parent handling small children, or that a small child is trying to navigate having a rough day, or how others might perceive us getting up while someone is talking, or thinking we are whispering to our spouse when all of a sudden the room goes quiet and everyone can hear us. It is also hard to face our own shortcomings. It's much easier to look to the outside rather than spend time looking inward. Our egos get in the way, and we believe we know what is right. All of this is to say, the church does not always feel so interconnected, as Barbara Brown Taylor says. And as Paul's image of the body would have us to be. If I twist my ankle, you know, I feel the pain. It shoots up my leg and I get a sense, I jump, my body responds. But if we forget to read the weekly church email, or if the gods of technology don't allow the email to go through to our email accounts, we might miss something. And we come to church days later and hear about it. We might miss that someone's passed away or has become ill. Or we might have missed a great service opportunity. You didn't even know you missed it. A part of our faith community body has suffered or provided joy, and it didn't even affect us like the way when we twist our ankle. Yet, as Barbara Brown Taylor points out, what if Paul was not speaking in metaphor about being the body of Christ? What if Paul was not speaking metaphorically, but instead was speaking more abstractly and more spiritually? Paul is speaking about the spiritual realm. After all, he does not say, you are like the body of Christ. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That you, and that's Greek, it's plural, that you are the body of Christ. As theologian Melody Howard states, for Paul, diversity within the body of Christ is not just a nice idea towards which the congregation can aspire. Rather, it is an essential component to the full functioning of the body, Paul recognizes that every type of spiritual gift is necessary, and he hopes to convince the congregation in Corinth of the same. This is why Ubuntu, why it is so valuable today, and why it also speaks to I am because we are. We are not perfect. We are not complete without one another. To be human is to actually be in relationship with others. We are dependent on other people. We are made by and influenced by other people, whether we like it or not. We are influenced by our parents, whether we like it or not. We are influenced by the grumpy store clerk, whether we like it or not. We are influenced by other people. Nelson Mandela, as we'll put the image up here, stated that Ubuntu is the profound sense that we are human only through the humanity of others. That if we are to accomplish anything in this world, it will be in equal measure due to the work and achievement of others. Now, he shared his understanding of Ubuntu with this parable that he also says, a traveler through a country would stop at a village, and he didn't have to ask for food or for water. Once he stops, the people give him food, entertain him. That is one aspect of Ubuntu, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not enrich themselves. The question, therefore, is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to improve? We, my friends, are not isolated people. We do not live in the woods by ourselves. We depend on others. We were born by another human being, and we interact and are influenced by other people every day of our lives. We have to interact to live. We are people because of other people. Once we realize this, that we are interconnected, that I am because we are, that we are Christ's body, and that God is with us and for us, it's an opportunity to let go rather than to hang on or push through. We are on this crazy ride called life, and it's not an individual race. It's not a race to the end, to under the tree with the basket of sweets, but rather, it's a collective journey. We need each other to be fully human, to grow and magnify the light of Christ within us so that we can share it with others. So if we can love ourselves more fully and love others more fully, we will love Christ more fully and be working to make this earth as it is in heaven. For we are the body of Christ, the body of God. After all, as the Apostle Paul taught the people of Corinth in verse 7, just before our scripture reading today, he says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The center of the church, Paul teaches us, is Jesus and what Jesus has done. God's love is at the core of the gospel, as we learn from Paul. So, friends, let us come and realize our interdependence on one another and see God in you is the same God that's in me. And may God continue to weave us together. Amen.